This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Parental discretion is advised.
Certainly isn't how I envision this or plan this, but I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. But it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, and it's been unceasing and relenting. Unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season, and I felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away. I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live. Taking the joy out of this game, and after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation, and the only way forward for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. Of course, you just heard Andrew Luck announcing his surprise retirement earlier this week. What a shocker. Joining me, as always, is my co-host and good buddy, John Santucci, the Tooch. We also have Spaceball in the house, Fantasy Royalty. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing good. I'm a little upset at my draft, but, you know, made a trade with Tooch before the draft, and very sorry I did.
Well, very sorry I did.
And I learned something because remember I said last week two things that I became a hypocrite on. Number one, I said I've never been in a 14-man league, and now I am.
There you go.
And number two, I said my first two picks are always running backs. Well, guess what? When you draft 14 and 15, your best running back might be Mark Ingram, and you can get him in two rounds later. So, I mean, whoa, did that screw me up?
Yeah, it was a different strategy for sure.
Well, yeah. I had practiced 14 and 15, and I had my picks down. I was like, seventh? It's Spaceball likes to trade. I'll just trade with him. He'll be happy. And
Who did you have at 14 and 15?
Well, I would take, I would take Travis Kelce if he was still there. Sometimes he
really?
Was there. Then, of course, there's some running backs you can grab. Right. I would have taken Mike Evans, Adam Thielen, those guys, take one of the two of those three.
I took OBJ and I took Michael Thomas.
Wow.
Because I didn't have any running backs to take there, and so I had to get some points. I think if I would have had more than a minute and a half to think about it, I probably would have in one of those slots taking Kelce.
Well, I love those two picks, man.
Yeah, it's a solid pick.
Yeah, I put it out there. Anybody wants to trade me a running back, those two picks, nobody. This is the first time I've ever had a team since 1992. The first time I ever had a team that there's not one person that I wouldn't trade.
Wow, that's saying a lot there, Spaceball. It's very bold.
Yeah, that's saying how much I can't stand my team. Joe, introduce our special guest.
Yeah, I was going to say, of course we had our Bears Barroom Draft on Sunday, which is what we're talking about, our 14-man league. And one of our special guests is a member of that league. We have Steve Zim Zimmerman in the house. Zim, how you doing, brother?
I am doing wonderful today. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic.
Zim, what was your grade? What was your draft grade?
I actually got a D. I got the lowest grade in our league.
Fantastic.
So what was yours?
I got a B minus.
I got a C.
Okay, Tooch. Well,
I like my team, but hey.
Wait, what did you have, Tooch?
I got a C.
And I got a B.
Yeah.
There you go.
Joe and I, one year, Joe and I had D's, and I went undefeated that year. But
yeah.
Well, don't forget, everybody that has this slotting, we have to remember they're no different than anybody that's listening to us on our podcast.
Well, you know, fantasy drafts often throw wrenches, guys, and that's one of the things that happened in our league. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but when the running backs started to go in that first round into the second, they were gone. If you didn't take them, there was nobody left.
Gone. My second running back that has to start is a non-starter, is James White. Yes, he's used effectively and efficiently in the New England Patriots offense, but he's my second running back. In most leagues, your first two running backs are still starters.
Well, last year, James White finishes the number 10 overall fantasy running back, so he's a starter.
Right. That means there were 9 ahead of him, number one. Yeah. Number two, my number one running back, and we can hit about this. I'd love to know what Zim thinks. I mean, Mark Ingram was great with the Saints, but he's going into that screwy 10-headed running back monster in Baltimore.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
he's
tough.
He's the highest paid running back in Baltimore. But is he going to – I haven't read anything that he is 100% their main 20 carries a game guy. Have you?
No, Zim? I mean their top running back, and in my opinion, Zim, is their quarterback, Lamar Jackson. I mean, what do you think about Ingram?
Yeah.
Well, you're right there. Yeah. Like, you got to keep in mind, though, that the Ravens led the league in rushing attempts last year. And with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback all season, you got to figure that's going to increase with the read option style offense they're going to run. I've actually grabbed Mark Ingram in several of the leagues that I'm in. So I've got faith in the guy.
He's available
I love
for you.
Too.
He's available for you. I'll look at your roster. And he's available.
Baltimore.
Can I say one thing?
Baltimore's got the easiest schedule against the run. Number one, easiest schedule against the run. Before you trade him, Spaceball.
But has anybody read anything about Mark Ingram's knocking the socks off of everybody and he's their main guy in Baltimore? I haven't read that.
They haven't really done much with him in the preseason. I mean, I think a lot of coaches are taking the cue from Nagy last year.
Yeah, right on, Joe.
Well, you know what? You're going to see a lot more of it now, too. I think, going back to what you just played at the opening, I think you're going to have a lot more of these guys saying, I can't take any more. Listen to the scenario. Let's say, Tooch, you're married, you've been in the league 5 years, and you were a superstar. But you went through a lot of the pain and suffering that a guy, and let's face it, I was once in a motorcycle accident many, many years ago. The worst thing about the accident was rehab.
Right.
So if you get into some kind of trauma on the field, the rehab's the worst thing. You got $100 million in the bank. You just had a young kid, didn't he?
Wait, who, Andrew Luck? Yeah.
Yeah, he does have a young family.
And so the wife says, honey, seriously, you haven't been happy in 3 years.
Yeah.
In the last 3 years since you've been really hurt and everything else, we don't need the money. We're set for life. Give it up, and then he'll start making $1 million, $2 million a year for one of the networks.
Well, he's got a master's from Stanford as well, so he's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, but the master's is for architecture.
All right, well, maybe he won't be building buildings. Who knows?
Maybe he'll start building new football stadiums like Jack Nicklaus built golf courses.
There you go.
You know, there, a few years back, Ditka was lobbying for veteran health care for NFL veterans.
Right.
Don't know if you remember this, but you look back and you see guys like, I'm sure you met Ed Obradovich at the Score Spaceball.
Right.
Those guys, they're the beating there, those guys' bodies.
Walter.
The beating that their bodies take. I've seen Earl Campbell on video. He could barely walk. I mean, I'm sure Andrew Luck was thinking about that when he decided to hang him up.
When Ditka used to walk in, when Ditka would walk into the restaurant, we would do a Wednesday afternoon score lunch broadcast with Jiggets and North, and Ditka, he'd walk in with such a limp. And, you know, I haven't been at the score in 10 years or whatever. This was 10, 12, 14 years ago. I mean, and it only, your body can only take so much. You're not right. Superman. And, you know, I think a lot more of this is going to happen. How can you feel the same way and have the love of the game, the passion of the game, the extraordinary enthusiasm about the pain if you can't get out of bed?
Yeah.
I mean, I was taking a beating.
You know,
right, Joe? He said it ruined the game.
Yeah. And so you have to think, you know, he knows, you know, his career. Now, the interesting thing, the difference between him and Gronkowski is Gronkowski will be a Hall of Famer. Guaranteed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think Luck's going to make the Hall of Fame. Do you guys?
No, probably not. I mean, granted, he was fantastic when he was on the field, but, you know, guys like Luck are guys that don't make the Hall of Fame. They're guys that play great football, but they don't have big enough of a volume of work, and then people don't respect them because, you know, he was on some stinker teams too. So, you know, it's he was on both ends of the spectrum. You know, the work he did with Chuck Pagano as his head coach was fantastic. The work he did last year was great. But everything in between, you know, he was a great player. He just, I don't think he had the career to be in the Hall of Fame.
In a historical context, I think he's going to be remembered like Jim McManus with the Bears. He's one of the best of all time, but he'll never be a Hall of Famer because he was injured. He played on some crappy teams. Like you said, Joe, he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt on it.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. And gentlemen, while we're talking about Luck, you know, I gotta say, what do you guys think of Jacoby Brissett's fantasy value filling in for Luck? I mean, I think he's a guy that's not in a lot of lineups right now. He's obviously he wasn't drafted in some drafts. I mean, this is a guy that has potential to be a top 15, you know, if all things go right with that offensive line, a top 10 quarterback. You know, I'm willing to take the risk to put him on my roster. What do you guys think, Tooch? I know you like Jacoby Brissett.
I do. I like the Colts' offensive line a lot. That's the thing. They've got one of the best offensive lines in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, Jacoby Brissett was a rookie when he started in place of Luck in 2017. I was a rookie. It was hard for me. He didn't play terribly. He didn't play great. Everyone says T.Y. Hilton had a terrible year that year. But this is a new coaching staff. Frank Reich, a good offensive mind. There's a great offensive line. Jacoby Brissett has the athleticism to make plays. He's a decent thrower, and he's got weapons, Joe. Jack Doyle had 80 catches under Jacoby Brissett that year.
Well, he got the lion's share.
Ebron should be the best tight end.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, Ebron was the better tight end when he had Luck throwing him the ball. But if you go back to the years where Brissett was the quarterback for when Doyle was there, Jack Doyle got more than 25% of the target share, more than the 19.5% that T.Y. Hilton got. So this change in quarterback affects T.Y. Hilton's value. You know, I love T.Y. Hilton, but I think where he's going in drafts right now, I don't think he's going to get you what you're expecting out of him. So keep your expectations in check for Hilton. I have a feeling that Brissett's going to lean on the tight end a lot this year.
All I'm going to say to anybody that hasn't done their draft yet, if you haven't done your draft yet, you're pretty smart because you still don't know what's happening with Elliott, and you don't know what's happening with the idiot here in San Diego. But the bottom line is where was, and I'm sure Joe and Tooch, you did a lot of mock drafts. You said it last week.
Yes,
we did.
A lot of mock drafts.
Where was Andrew Luck taken in your mock drafts? And you're not going to take Jacoby Brissett ahead of where you were going to take Luck.
Right. I don't know about you, Tooch, but in my mock drafts, I saw Luck go in the 7th or 8th round. How about you?
We'll say 6, 7, 8. But that night, we had our Goon League draft, and he was falling and falling. And I had already drafted Deshaun Watson.
As your starter.
I was like, yeah, as my starter. I'm like, I'll take Luck as a backup if he's, you know, if his calf turns out to be all right. It's a gamble. Maybe I'll trade one of them for, a wide receiver or tight end or running back. But it didn't work out because 7 minutes after the draft, he retired.
Yeah, I almost grabbed him twice in that draft. I couldn't. I was so thankful when I saw that he retired. I was like, oh, my God, I just dodged a bullet.
Go on record and say to all of our listeners and everything else, you know what? You can't be mad at a guy who wants to have his life back.
Absolutely.
Nobody should get upset at him, and no Indianapolis fans should get upset at him. Between injury and what kind of player he was, you should relish the fact that he was a damn good player. And, you know, I saw somebody called up today, NFL Radio. I was listening. I was in the car asking. They tried to go back to the draft of saying, what if they would have kept Manning and didn't draft Andrew Luck? That's how stupid that is. What if I didn't have testicles when I was born? I'd be called Geraldine. I don't know. The bottom line is that give the guy a credit. Yes, I'd like to know how early he had this decision made. Did the Colts know about? Because, by the way, did you see any shock out of any of their players? Did you hear or see any shock out of Jacoby Brissett that all of a sudden now you're going to be something? Now you're an NFL starter.
Yep, he's an NFL starter, and it's just crazy how...
And I saw no reaction from players. It seemed like they knew for a while.
Yeah, I think they knew for a while, and I think the Colts mishandled the way that they went about this whole thing because they leaked that story.
What a surprise, the Indianapolis Colts mishandled something.
Yeah, I mean, somebody leaked that story to Adam Schefter. And then Schefter breaks it during a game where Luck is standing on the sidelines, most people not knowing anything about the situation. I mean, it's an absolute nightmare from a PR standpoint, and that's why his post-game presser ended up being his retirement presser. I mean, it was a shit show.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Typical for Ursay.
Yeah, it's a very Ursay-type thing.
They do business there in Indianapolis.
And, you know, it's a shame, too, because... You know, Luck is such a class guy, and he handled himself with grace throughout the situation. You heard him during the Open in what is probably one of the most heartfelt moments I've heard from an NFL player ever, you know, kind of pouring his heart out, and you got to feel for the guy, and you got to feel for, you know, his family as well. They're going through it with him, too. So athletes are people. We forget that, and I think everyone out there needs to remember that as well.
I think what's happening when athletes are people, and you're 100% right, the bottom line here is that the pricing has gotten out of hand. They're not people, but the money they get paid and the money that when I hear a guy making $22,000 a year calling up and talking how an athlete deserves more than $100 million or whatever the case, I can't understand. They become almost like Marvel superheroes.
Yeah.
And you don't expect anything to go wrong with them. They make too much. You got 19-year-old high school kids, Zion Williamson, already worth over $200 million.
Yeah, it's nuts.
He can't drink for two more years.
You're right. No, you can't drink for two more years. And, you know, the league is in a place of insanity with money. You got the same thing going on with Zeke Elliott right now, who still has not signed, gentlemen. Right. And in the barroom league, I think I have to remind everybody, with my second-to-last pick, I got Tony Pollard. That might be the steal of the draft.
I sniped him from me.
Talking about Melvin Gordon.
You're breaking up a little bit, Jeff. We didn't quite catch that one.
I know.
Oop, did we lose you, Jeff?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, he's back.
Can you hear me now?
Good.
Okay. But when you look at Melvin Gordon, they were talking today. He is being paid $5 million a year. The Chargers went to him and would double it to $10 million a year. He wants more. There's only two running backs in the NFL that are making more money than him right now today.
Yeah, that's wild.
And I could tell you about five or six running backs that are a hell of a lot better than him, if not more than that.
It's true, but I have a feeling, guys, and this was some breaking news the other day, that Lamar Miller tore his ACL out for the season for the Texans. I have a feeling the Texans are going to make a play on Melvin Gordon. Jadeveon Clowney wants to be traded, so you know maybe that becomes part of a deal for Melvin Gordon or something like that. You know, I'm interested to see how that plays out because one way or another, guys, in Spaceball, I think you'd agree, I don't think Melvin Gordon's playing a down for the Chargers the rest of his career.
I don't think he is. I think they like what they saw in, how do you pronounce his name, Eckler? And they're ready to roll with him. You know, they're a second-class citizen here. They shouldn't even be here in Los Angeles. They are a – I go – as you know, I was out of town last week. In the gift shops in Los Angeles and LAX airport, you can buy a Dodgers hat. You can buy a Lakers hat. You can't find the Clippers or Chargers anywhere.
You could probably buy an LA Galaxy hat instead, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's a ton of those. But, you know, at the end of the day, nobody cares about the Chargers. Even Rivers didn't move to LA. Well, first of all, he's got, what, 23, 24 kids?
Yeah, it's like 30 now. Yeah.
I grew up in rock and roll with rock and roll disc jockeys, and none of them had that many kids, even if they weren't ever married. But the bottom line is he didn't even move to LA. They drive him in a limousine to and from every day. And he sits in the back seat so he can read the playbook.
Yeah, I mean Philip Rivers might conceive more children than touchdown passes this year.
He definitely will conceive more children than Melvin Gordon's stats for the Chargers.
You're right, yeah. Most definitely. So I know we got off track a little bit, guys. We were talking about the Colts before we went off on this tangent, and I want to touch base on Marlon Mack's fantasy
value. Well,
that's
because, wait, before you go there, Zim, I'm going to say goodbye to the geniuses now. I'm on the first half hour, then I let serious talk happen. Zim, you don't have a trade offer from me. Toot, you might have a trade offer from me, too.
All right.
Well, hey, you might as well.
I'll be listening.
Have a great one, guys. Talk next week.
All right.
All right, Spaceball. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Wow, guys. Spaceball is got so much information, man. He's like an encyclopedia of fantasy knowledge. He's the first fantasy football show ever on The Score. I mean, that's unbelievable. Yep. Guy's an absolute legend.
That was where I used to listen to that show, Joe, when I was in my 20s. I remember Spaceball, and it was great to have fantasy football talk on the radio.
Amen, man. It's the best thing in the world. And let's backtrack for a second to where we were before. I don't even know how we got to that point, but we did. You know, we went off the rails, but that's the best part about fantasy talk is you can kind of go wherever you want because it doesn't matter. But I want to talk a little bit about Marlon Mack. I know we touched on him in the beginning, but this is a guy who I think his value goes up now with Jacoby Brissett at the helm because, you know, he's going to rely on him a lot. They're going to feed him the rock. He's healthy for what feels like the first time in forever. And when he was healthy 2 years ago, Tooch, Marlon Mack was a stud. I mean, you were the first Marlon Mack adopter, Tooch. I mean, what are your thoughts on the old Marlon Mack?
I like him. I've got him in the Goon League. I love the Colts' offensive line, so they should be opening up plenty of holes for him. He's got to stay healthy. Nyheim Hines is still there, and he's a good pass running back.
Yep.
He did his job last year. He caught 70 balls with luck, so we'll see. Mac, a good pass catcher in college, and they said they're going to try and get him some more targets. Well, we'll see. I like Mac's potential, Joe.
Tons of potential. Same thing with, you know, a lot of the Colts on that team. Zim, you look like you got something to say.
Mac's value goes through the roof, in my opinion, when Jacoby Brissett takes over. I mean, running back's the first position to benefit whenever a starting quarterback goes down, especially with a team that's got an offensive line like the Colts, like you were saying.
Right.
It's just he's going to get more – touches running the ball, but those dump off passes when he's when the quarterback's unsure about the play or maybe doesn't get the read quite right immediately, he's going to go to that dump off real quick. That's where the running backs feed, especially a guy like Marlon Mack, who, like you mentioned, he caught the ball real well out of the backfield in college. So I'd certainly expect him to do more of the same this season.
Right, and yeah. With Luck sidelined, Joe, with Luck sidelined, Jacoby Brissett has been getting all the reps, all the ones.
He's getting all the reps all off season,
he's been the number one quarterback, so it's not like he's going to be out of practice when he starts the season week one.
And they're going to build up that chemistry as well, too, so that's another good thing there. And, you know, I had a draft, and here's a guy in Mac that's going late in drafts, guys. I mean, I've seen him go as late as, I think, the 7th round, and I think that's an absolute steal. I'm trying to see where I got him yesterday because I'm in a league with Greg Braggs Jr., a separate league that he invited me to, and I got Mac in the 6th round. I feel so good about that because I think he's really going to help my squad.
Yeah, I think he'll surpass that draft position, Joe.
Absolutely. To me, he's a comparable guy to like a David Montgomery with the Bears where, yeah, he's going to be splitting some reps, but his reps will be very valuable.
Yeah. So
you guys surprised at how fast David Montgomery went off the board in the barroom league?
No,
didn't he go
first
round?
Yeah,
was
Aldo,
first or second?
I think Aldo took him with the first his
second
first pick.
Round.
Well, fourth
did you see
overall.
Who, did you see did who he, Gaines took in the first round?
The Bears defense, I think,
the
right?
The Bears defense, yeah.
That was round two.
We are in a league with homers, that's for sure, Joe.
Well, hey, do you give one thing, you know, and I know our guy Gaines will be listening to this probably tomorrow, but, you know, he has all the confidence in the world in his fantasy abilities, and when you're drafting, yeah. That's the number one thing you got to do, man. Be confident in your picks. Get the guys you want. You know, you don't need a computer to tell you how your draft was. Like Tooch mentioned earlier, Tooch and I, 2 years ago in our work league, had D-minus and D-plus rankings, and we met each other in the championship, and Tooch had a perfect year. He went 16-0. I've never seen anything like it.
they gave us D-pluses, I think, before the season, Joe. We were both like, WTF? We both loved our teams. I don't know. Well, I like my team in the barroom league. I think I've got pretty good starters. My bench is questionable, but there's so many sleepers out there, Joe, that I just want to make some moves on. But, you know, I'm holding on to some guys just hoping something will happen, maybe an injury. And then, you know, then you've got that lottery ticket. You've got the handcuff lottery ticket, you know, like guys like Malcolm Brown or Damian Harris or Darwin Thompson, you know, Justice Hill, you know,
or my,
any one
my
of those guys, Tony Pollard.
Or right. My number one handcuff that I really targeted at the end of every draft, and he's a guy available in the majority of leagues if you're in a 10 or 12 man, but I'm looking at Ty Montgomery. I mean, he's the backup for Le'Veon Bell, and there's a guy that if Bell goes down, like Ty Montgomery could easily be a top 10, top 15 running back for a guy that's not even being drafted in the majority of leagues. So
they really like him too over there.
Yeah, he's having a great preseason. He looks fresh. You know, I mean, he's been all over the field. I mean, he's been an every down player with Bell not playing in the preseason. So that obviously tells you that he's the guy. And he's probably the best handcuff, if not the top handcuff, you know, top three handcuff in all of fantasy. So don't forget about him because, you know, remember when he was on Green Bay? I mean, he was a stud until they had that three-headed monster. So just keep an eye out for Montgomery.
Right, and speaking of Green Bay, that's a team that runs the ball the least, and they have a super talented running back in Aaron Jones, a guy who can find the end zone, and then the coach who calls the least amounts of plays as their head coach. So, I mean, you know the Green Bay Packers like to throw the ball. I just hope yes. that they – I mean, whoever's got Aaron Jones has got to hope that they feed him the ball. They just – if they're smart, they'll be feeding him the ball and, you know, softening up the passing game. You
they
know,
will.
As they wear down defenses with the well, run. But,
well, that's what McCarthy was criticized for, too, which is that they had freaking amazing Aaron Jones, and then he would give the ball to all these other schmucks. Now they know who the guy is. LaFleur's not an idiot. As much as I don't much care for him as a coach.
Well, he had Derrick Henry didn't do. Well, it wasn't him as the head coach, but.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know,
a lot of people feel should be getting the ball more.
I mean, I love Aaron Jones as a pass catcher, too. So that's something to keep in mind. I think he's another great value in the draft. Zim does not share my optimism on Aaron Jones.
No, not at all.
But I'm going to throw it to Zim to have him rip apart my draft. So go
no,
ahead.
No, I mean, maybe it's the homer in me. But, I mean, at this point in time, the Packers' offense is in shambles as far as I'm concerned. They've got a head coach who ran the 28th best offense in the league last year. And a quarterback who threw the ball out of bounds more than anybody else. And I know this is fantasy we're talking about, but to me, when you've got players like the Packers have, you've got a comparable player at every single position in the draft. Personally, as a Bears fan, I'll never draft a Packer. That's just me. And I know it's not wise fantasy advice. I know. But I think there's a comparable player at literally every single position on the Packers offense that you can get a guy who's just as good, if not better.
Except for number 12.
Yeah.
But
How were his fantasy stats last year?
I think he finished number 3 overall, Joe.
So there's two guys better.
Top 5. Well, yeah, but
I mean,
most teams don't have a quarterback of his caliber.
For his draft position, I think you're better off waiting for a guy like Drew Brees, like what I did and
exactly.
stuff like that.
Well,
but here,
Ben Roethlisberger, Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
These are guys that are comparable that you can get later on. Yeah. Most people who are drafting Rodgers high are Packers fans, Joe.
Yeah, like, it's the Peter year to Bukowski. Wait for quarterbacks. So wait for quarterbacks. I agree 100%. I waited a little too long in the Barroom League. Or not, I don't remember which league. Yeah, the Barroom League again. I think I ended up with Roethlisberger. But you know what? That's fine. Yeah, he's serviceable. I mean, he throws the ball a million times a game.
Don't you have someone else besides Roethlisberger?
Oh, wait, you're right. Who did I draft?
Do you have Carson Wentz, too?
No, that's the Goon League. I have Roethlisberger and Wentz, but in the Barroom League, I only have Roethlisberger.
Oh, okay, so you just have one quarterback in the Barroom League. Okay. See, so, I took Matt Ryan fell to me, I forget where, in the fifth or sixth round. Like fifth or sixth round, so I figure 13 games at a dome. You know, the Atlanta offense should be good this year. They have an improved offensive line. Matt Ryan is working with Dirk Cotter again.
Yeah.
They still have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, Austin Hooper, and Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, very good.
It's an offense you want a piece of. I also got pieces of the air raid offense.
Yeah.
If they're gonna run 80 plays a game, I want a piece of that. Okay, where I get it. I've got Kyler Murray, David Johnson, and I've got Larry Fitzgerald. So I've got three of them on there. Kyler Murray, you know, he's not going to have a Patrick Mahomes type of year, Joe. Remember last year before the season, we were talking about Patrick Mahomes, about how he had like 58 touchdowns in college, you know, at Texas Tech. Running that air raid offense. Now, Joey said, what if he has 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in fantasy? It would be the greatest fantasy season ever for a quarterback. And he did that.
And then he did it, yeah.
He freaking did that. we were predicting good things for him. I ended up taking him twice and wrote it to some fantasy playoffs. But Kyler Murray, a chance to do that this year. Air raid offense.
And guys, while we're talking about quarterbacks, before we move on, I want to drop one bit of advice that's happened to me in every draft so far. And after every draft, I learn from that. But the run on quarterbacks happens, and it's going to happen. So, you know, if it's getting later in the draft, if it's like the sixth round, and the quarterback that you want is on the board, I say you go and get the guy you want, because if you wait that extra round, they're not going to be there. I did that in the Barroom League because I wanted Breeze, and he didn't come back to me. I mean, you got to take your quarterback probably in the sixth, maybe seventh round, but that run happens in the seventh round. It's been happening every draft I'm in, and once somebody takes one, they're all gone.
Yeah, and it happens faster than you expect, especially. Yeah. I mean, in our league, it happened in the sixth round.
Sixth round because of 14 teams. Yeah, exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, in other leagues, for me, it's happened in the seventh, but never later than that. And like we talked about last week, you show your conviction. You go get your guy. You make a pace move. Get your guy while you can. rather than waiting too long and saying, ah, shit, I should have drafted him already.
Here's the thing about Drew Brees, though, Joe. They're a team that's committed to running the ball more. Drew Brees is 40. You know, he's still accurate. I don't think they're gonna throw the ball as much as we think. So I think that you're better with Roethlisberger. It's a guy who never saw a pass he didn't like. So, I mean, he threw the ball 670 times last year. Yeah, Roethlisberger makes at least one dumb pass a game. But Juju Smith-Schuster, with all those vacated targets, he could be Juju Schuster. He could end up as the number one receiver overall this year. Just watch out.
Well, that's it. Yeah. He saw 160 some odd targets last year, and that's only going to go up from there. And that's with Antonio Brown also seeing 170 some odd targets.
And people are saying he's not going to do anything. You know, he was in the slot, and he had Antonio Brown. But Juju Smith-Schuster has enough talent. He's got a huge catch radius. He's got enough talent to play outside as well as inside.
And they signed Dante Moncrief as well as the number two wideout. And that guy is nothing to slouch at either. He's a fantastic wideout. You got James White on the field. But James Washington too, right, too? He's the number three, right?
Yep, James Washington. Watch out for him. He could be the number two before the season is over.
And he's been a big steal in a lot of drafts in the later rounds.
Right. It's sleeper potential. You've got James Conner, who's an excellent running back.
I took him with conviction at number five, gents.
Yeah, I like it. The Steelers have always had they've always been able to run the ball. They've always had a decent running game. And this year they've got a decent schedule against the run.
So, yeah, I like the Steelers' outlook. And you know, we got a question in the chat room that I think I have to address, guys. So one of the top barroom barflies, one of our big fans, Heidi from Mexico, is in the chat. And she's got a question I've never seen in my entire life. She's in an 18-team league doing their draft. 18, wow. 1-8. And they don't pick their draft order until right before the draft. So, gentlemen, if you're in an 18-team league, how do you even approach that? I mean, I've never done anything. There's going to be nobody left.
My first advice is to leave the league and find a smaller league.
If you're picking 15th or 18, good luck. You ain't getting much. But yeah, if you're picking 9th, I would say you're not doing well. You gotta hope you're in the first, you know. But yeah, I think you gotta just go best play. What I would do if I was Heidi, I would pick a running back or wide receiver with my first pick, the best on the board. And then if you took wide receiver, come back in the next round, get a running back, then get a tight end or a quarterback and fill out those top 5-6 starters and then start looking for lottery tickets.
I'm going a totally separate direction on this, guys. And Heidi, let us know in the chat room if you know what your league rules are. Is it like PPR, half a point per catch? But if this is me, I'm taking the first three rounds no matter what. I'm taking a running back. I'm taking the three solid running backs, and tight ends deep, quarterbacks deep, and wide receivers deep. So if that's me, the first three rounds, I'm taking all running backs, best available on the board.
I like both those ideas, but the big thing is the later rounds when that league starts to water down a lot. Anybody can get whatever they want in the first few rounds as long as you're targeting your correct players and making sure you're getting your prime positions, you know, those running backs, like you mentioned there. We talked about it last week, too. They're thin. You got to get those early. But later in the draft, you're going to have to overdraft on a couple positions. You're going to have to overdraft your defense if you want to get something that's elite. You're going to have to overdraft on maybe a quarterback even. Get somebody in the second round if you're playing with that many people.
Yeah.
That's just me, but
take Patrick Mahomes in the first or second round.
Yeah, I mean, that's another way. But we had in my draft with Greg Braggs yesterday, we had someone take Mahomes, I think, second or third overall, which is just insanity. I won't do it. Don't do it, guys. If you're out there, don't do it. If there's no way he can replicate what he did last year. So that's my opinion. I love Patrick Mahomes, but if he does it again this year, then he's got a believer in me. But, you know, I think they're going to run the ball a lot this year. My MVP for the Chiefs this year is Damian Williams. I'm all over him.
And guess who's got him in the barroom league?
Yeah, I know. You kind of sniped me, Zim, but, you know, that's okay. It's easy to get sniped when you have your rankings on the internet for people to look at. So
I got sniped every round, man. I was like, what?
I got more
even
people.
Guys, I was put 2, 3, maybe 4 guys in my queue while I'm waiting to pick.
I got
when it
more
got around to me, man. It was like, I got nobody in my queue, you know. I got what do I do now, you know? It wasn't
well,
enough.
Man, I had more people in the last week because I had, you know, 4 or 5 drafts. More of my friends asking me, hey, what's your website link again? Yeah, okay. You just wanna look at all my rankings. I see how it is.
That's right.
Well, hey, I said, hey, it's strategery. Using your strategery. All right, let's kick some ass. But let's get back on track
more,
for a second.
Questions from the chat room. Yeah.
We do. We have one chat. We have a couple questions, but the first one I want to ask is John Kesick in the chat room wants to know, is Josh Gordon a number one wide receiver?
Hell no.
I said no immediately. I like Josh Gordon with a lot of upside. I think he is a solid 3 with 2 potential, but I'm not drafting him as my number one. And I'm going to tell you why. Because unless Julian Edelman gets hurt, Julian Edelman is getting 12 targets a game. That's it. I mean, that's it at the end of the day. That's why Julian Edelman, for me, is a top... I think I have him in my top 10. Because especially in PPR, he's going to tear it up. Now, Josh Gordon's a big play guy. You know, if I think he's going to have value. I just don't think he's worth a number one wide receiver choice. He's going way too early in drafts. I think in the barroom league, guys, I think Josh Gordon went, excuse me if I'm wrong, maybe 4th, 5th round, something crazy like that. It's not worth the investment. Zim, I know you're on the same page with me there.
Oh, absolutely. He's not worth it. Especially when you consider the guys ahead of him, you know, Julian Edelman, I know Keneal Harry's kind of hurt and so is Demaryius Thomas, but those guys are still ballers. They're still going to get their touches. I'm trying to think of it. I mean,
that's a great thing to bring up, Zim, is you talked about Demaryius Thomas. He came off the PUP list yesterday.
Yep.
So now he's going to be with the team. That's another great sleeper that people are not even thinking about. Demaryius Thomas hasn't been drafted in any leagues I've been in. Yeah, he's old, and yes, he's coming off an Achilles injury, but his quarterbacks have been nowhere near the level of Tom Brady. So something to think about, especially in really deep leagues. Heidi, in your 18-person league, please make sure someone drafts Demaryius Thomas.
That's just it. I mean, his former teammate, Emmanuel Sanders, is also coming off an Achilles injury, who's playing
him.
With a much worse quarterback, in my opinion, with Joe Flacco, who I haven't seen drafted in any leagues that I've been in.
Nope.
And Emmanuel Sanders, that is getting drafted in late rounds, you know, in 12, 13, 14 rounds, but still getting drafted over guys like Demaryius Thomas, who could potentially be just as, if not more, effective.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about fantasy is, like, there's always those guys on the wire all year long that are going to help your team. And we talk about it every year with our sleepers each week and people who we think we should keep an eye on. So, and it's funny because this regular season's just about here, gents. The next time we do a show, we'll be previewing Bears-Packers next week. I will be fresh off my Vegas hangover from my bachelor party. And nice. We'll be talking about all that good stuff. But football season's just about here, guys, and we're going to be there with you the whole ride, especially when it comes to sleepers and, you know, waiver wire stuff. Tooch is a waiver wire master, just like myself. We put more claims in than pretty much anyone else that I know. Tooch, what is your strategy for dealing with the waiver wire before the season? Because I know we talk about this a lot, right? Like, you draft a guy, you're not sure about him, and then you pull the trigger too early. Last year, some people drafted Calvin Ridley. They held him on their bench, you know, for the first 3 weeks. And they
rewarded.
A lot of people dropped him after, you know, week 3 because he was a dud. Oh, I think Zim did. Okay.
100%. I drafted him immediately and then dropped him because again, like you said, I thought it was dud. Continue, sorry.
No, case in point, you know, if you have that stud that you think has the talent, they definitely have the talent. Just give them a few weeks. Don't make any harsh decisions, because the first 2 weeks of the season, 3 weeks, aren't going to lose you a league. I mean, you can go 0-3 and still make the playoffs. So just keep that in mind. That's my word of wisdom for your roster now that you're probably drafted, or if you're not drafting, you're drafting Labor Day weekend.
Here's what I do as far as waiver wire. I always check the transaction trends in the fantasy football league. You can check who are people dropping, who are people picking up, and then get yourself either, you know, a Twitter feed notifications for fantasy football news. Yeah. Check fantasy football news sites, NFL news, and then you'll find out what's going on. Check team websites. You know, you go on each team website to get their little news blurbs, you know, on usually on the scroll on the side.
Turn on notifications.
Yeah, turn on your notifications for the teams, fantasy football news, all that stuff. You'll be ahead of the game.
Even this time of year, just double-checking depth charts, making sure guys are where you think they are.
Check the depth charts, exactly. Check Twitter feeds of fantasy football writers and team beat reporters for each team. They'll usually show like little bits of tape. Like, for example, I was watching tape on Dare Ogunbowale, who is the third down running back on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones have not looked good, but this kid has looked good. And Bruce Arians, as the coach, isn't going to stand for, you know, non-production. Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones already brought in Andre Ellington, the guy he had in Arizona. So watch out for Dare Ogunbowale. There's kids like Justice Hill, who's on the Ravens, looking like he's going to be the third down back there. This is a kid that has blazing speed. You know, Baltimore's going to run the ball a lot, so.
He was a guy at the barroom that we talked about a lot as being a potential draft target for the Bears. So,
yeah,
you know, there's guys here that like him. Just because he's on the Ravens doesn't change that.
Well, right? Guys, we got an interesting tidbit from Ryan Cox in the chat room. He said Rob Gronkowski is at the top of the transaction trends on Yahoo Fantasy right now.
And, you know, he was interviewed. He said, "I feel great, you know. That's what a year off will do, you know, not putting his body through anything."
Well, he hasn't had a year off yet. He's
almost a year off. You know, he didn't do any off-season.
Go ahead. You
know, he didn't do any off-season training with the team, no training camp, no hitting, no preseason. But this is a guy who I have a 40% chance maybe, Joe, coming back.
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, is it a trend or is it wishful thinking?
I think it's wishful thinking, Zim. I'm with you. I'd rather roster Andrew Luck right now than draft Rob Gronkowski.
I don't know. Patriots number one easiest schedule against the pass. We talked about that before. So, guys, we have the John Kesick, Josh Gordon question. We have Rob Gronkowski issue popping up. Jacoby Myers is a guy who in preseason caught 12 of 14 targets for 171 yards and 2 touchdowns with the Patriots. So this is a kid, you know, watch out.
Yeah, he's like Tanner Gentry almost.
Yeah, he looks like he might make the team.
Well, hey, if you make the Patriots team, God bless you. But he's going to be... He's a waiver wire sleeper potential, so I wouldn't put him on any rosters right now. But we do have another question in the chat, gents. I got to bring up, you know, people asking about Jameis Winston and his fantasy outlook. And I have to say, I'm liking Winston this year. I think having the new coach is going to help, and having Arians. And you know they're going to sling the ball. They have so much talent there. You know, O.J. Howard's taken a step forward. He's a guy that I like to finish potentially as the top tight end in fantasy. If you can get him, you know, later on, I think I've seen him go in the 5th round potentially. I love him there, but I think Jameis Winston has an MVP caliber type of season. I think he's being drastically underdrafted. I think Jameis Winston finishes inside the top 10 for sure. I really like what he brings to the table. I can see Zim's reaction on the other side. I'm not sure if he quite agrees with me, but what do you think about Jameis? No?
Jameis is a guy, he's been in the league long enough, we know who he is. Like, he's not going to suddenly go out and start becoming a different quarterback. He's an average middle-of-the-road guy. I think if you're in a league like Heidi is with 18 guys, yeah, he's a great pickup for you. But in an 8-team, 10-team, 12-team league, I don't think he's more than a QB2, even, I don't, QB3. I mean, he's not worth it to me because, again, also, you got to keep in mind he's in the first year of a new system. And with a guy who we know what he is, he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback, he's sometimes healthy. Is first year in a new system really going to be beneficial to someone like that? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's a wait
like
and see.
Winston.
I like Winston, as a high-end running quarterback, too.
Hey, kid can throw the ball. He's got Bruce Arians as his coach. He's got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard. They just have to get the running back solved. The defense is not good, so they'll be playing from behind. I think Jameis Winston going to have more than a couple 300-yard games, Joe.
Another team that could potentially be in the market for Melvin Gordon as well. So that would be interesting.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, and he turns into a Matt Stafford-type fantasy quarterback where, you know, it doesn't equate to wins on the field, but it equates to wins on the fantasy scoreboard.
Exactly.
So.
He probably is not going to look good in the win column, but man, if they're playing from behind with Evans going to get 13 targets a game, O.J. Howard maybe 10 targets a game, Chris Godwin 9 targets a game. Adam Humphries left behind 105 targets, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, Tooch, I mean, Jameis Winston could be our new garbage man.
I'm telling you, that's you took the words right out of my mouth. I would say he could be – but Blake Bortles finished 1 year as the number 3 overall fantasy quarterback. He sucked winning game, couldn't win a game, couldn't win any games. But, you know, he put up fantasy points left and right. Jameis Winston as a fantasy quarterback, I like him. I wouldn't mind him as my 1. I'd prefer him as a 2 where I could stream.
Exactly.
But Winston, man, watch for some matchups because Winston might be a pretty good daily fantasy. He might be cheap. Him and Lamar Jackson.
He's going to be cheap.
Especially
in
the first few weeks. Lamar Jackson going to be cheap. Jameis Winston's going to be cheap. He gets some good. I mean, he plays in the South, you know. That's not the toughest. Atlanta and Tampa Bay might have some shootouts. I don't know Tampa Bay's schedule offhand. We could look it up, but they might have some easy games, Joe.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year for fantasy, gents. It's going to be fun being in a 14-man league with you guys. I think the waiver wire is going to be absolutely freaking insane.
We should talk about one guy who you and I talked about offline today, and that's Jay Ajayi. Any chance he comes back, Joe? What do you think?
Well, the rumors were that he was signing with the Texans, but that was since refuted, and he has not signed with the Texans. He has not signed with any team, for that matter. So he's a guy that, depending on his situation, could be worth a situational add, especially in like really deeper leagues. Like in a 14-man league like ours, I think adding Jay Ajayi would probably be a smart potential roster move. Because I figure he's probably going to be get a bunch of targets and carries wherever he goes. And especially if he ends up on the Texans. I mean, they've got absolutely nobody, really. I mean, in my opinion, behind Lamar Miller. I mean, didn't Dante Foreman get cut, right, Tooch?
He got cut by the Texans. I bet they wish they had him back. But I think Bill O'Brien, who's probably one of the worst coaches in the league, was trying to send him a message. If you're going to be a slacker or a dick, you're not going to be on the team anymore. But yeah, Jay Ajayi would be a good landed spot for him. We'll see. Duke Johnson's value, what do you think, Joe? Skyrocketed after Lamar Miller went down, right?
For sure.
Can Duke Johnson be an every down running back, Joe?
So you guys aren't going to like my answer, but I do not believe Duke Johnson is an every down back. I think Duke Johnson is best served as a Tariq Cohen-like presence in the backfield. Maybe a little bit more usage out of him. Maybe almost like Mark Ingram in the past. I know he's not as big as Ingram, but I think that's the usage.
He's
like,
not
you
small,
have a...
though.
No, he's not.
He's over 200 pounds. In college, he touched the ball an average of 22 times a game. But I'm kind of with you on this. He's more of a Chris Thompson you know, third down back. But I think he's going to get, you know, touches on first and second downs this year. But yeah, they're going to rely on some other guys. They've got other guys behind him. Although we should tell Heidi, it's okay to pick up Duke Johnson, though, right, Joe?
Yeah, pick up Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
And he's got more value in a PPR league, which Heidi did comment back that that giant 18-team league is a PPR league. So I especially like you.
What round? 10th, 11th round?
Well, no, not in that league. In an 18-person league, Duke Johnson's probably going to go in the 5th.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, maybe 5th, 6th, 7th. Start looking around there, yeah.
Just go with the trends. So, like, I'd say start with a running back. And, well, I guess it depends who's available. If you have a first couple-round pick, Heidi, obviously go with the studs, like a Saquon. Or
baseball got two stud wide receivers, you know, in our league, in the barroom league.
Right.
You got Odell Beckham and Michael Thomas. Watch out.
Yeah, in a PPR league, I mean, if you get the opportunity, it's great to do that. Like, I was in a league yesterday.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Greg Braggs league that I was in, first-round pick, I took DeAndre Hopkins, and I had the 5th pick, and it came all the way back to me, and I still got Odell as my 2nd pick. I mean, that's insane.
That's not fair.
Why is nobody taking Odell Beckham?
I don't know. I
mean, do you know that? I'll give you a stat here, Joe. You know, Odell Beckham, all the games that he's played, 73% of games that he's played in, he's been a wide receiver, top 10 wide receiver or better, an average of wide receiver 2. You know, yeah. I mean, he's been fantastic. Wide receiver 2, 3, 73% of his games. It's nobody's ever done that.
I think go ahead.
Go on, you go, Zim. You go first.
Okay, well, the worry, I think, is that he's never been in an offense like this before that actually has more than one weapon, aside from last year with Saquon. But, I mean, a running back and a wide receiver, those are two different positions.
Remember who was throwing him the ball back? Joe's noodle arm, Eli Manning. Now he's got Baker Mayfield throwing him the ball. We talked about this before, Joe.
One of the most accurate quarterbacks in college football history.
He's very efficient in the red zone too, Baker Mayfield. If Baker Mayfield, he's a good field leader, you know, he's got that personality, he's fiery. You know, he's like a guy that you'd want to hang out with, you know, it's like cool.
I'd like to hang out with Baker Mayfield, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they have a lot of weapons. There's mouths to feed there. That's the thing. People might, and Odell Beckham could be a bit of a head case. You know, he's got to prove he can stay healthy. But there's nobody with more talent. Remember Odell Beckham as a rookie, Joe? Nobody as a wide receiver as a rookie came in and lit it up like he did.
I mean, I had no choice but to take him with my 2nd pick with Hopkins already. I'm like, how is this even possible? 2nd round, almost the end of the 2nd round, I got Odell.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's just craziness. So play that, too. That's another thing when you're drafting. You know, if you have the opportunity to get, like, 2 studs at a position and they're there, you know, when I'm talking about a stud at a position in the first couple rounds of a draft, I'm talking top 3. You know, I have Odell and DeAndre Hopkins in my top 3 with Michael Thomas. So, I mean, those guys right there, studs. Absolutely.
If you want
studs.
Odell, Julio, Michael Thomas. The only guy after Odell that's been close to what Odell did his first seasons in the league is Julio Jones. Julio, Mike Evans. These are guys who are your stud number ones who are going to get the target share. They're big receivers. They're going to get the lion's share of the targets. Nuk Hopkins. You know, you want one of those guys if you can, Heidi. Is she listening, right?
Yeah, she's in the chat. She's listening, yeah.
Yeah, those are the stud receivers. You know, your running backs, I think we know who they are.
Yeah, there's all the studs out there. Everyone knows what they got to do. But
there's just the drama with the running backs. Ezekiel Elliott, is he going to sign? You know, if you draft Ezekiel Elliott, you better get Tony Pollard later because, you know.
You need that insurance, especially with the season a week away. If he doesn't sign the next few days, Pollard's going to start week 1, no doubt in my mind.
And then Melvin Gordon, if you draft him, you could get Melvin Gordon in the 3rd or 4th round these days. You better get Austin Eckler.
Yeah. You need that handcuff. And so, gents, we are getting close to the end of our time here. But before we close things out, I want to throw it around to each of you guys one more time for your last final thoughts before what is the last drafting weekend of fantasy and the start of the regular season. So, Tooch, let me toss it to you first. Final thoughts on going into that draft Labor Day weekend, things you've learned, something to highlight for people that are still drafting.
Well, you better go into the draft with your targets in mind, or at least a list of written down and what rounds they're going to be in, and you better be prepared to draft them one round early, depending on the size of your league. In smaller leagues, smaller team leagues, 8-10-man leagues, you don't have to do that, but 12 and 14 and 18, you better start grabbing your targets early.
No doubt.
And then after you get your starters, start looking for, you know, some lottery tickets and quality backups.
That's it. Zim, how about you, my friend?
I mean, a lot of what Tooch said is absolutely true. Don't be afraid to go get your guy. Go early. And, I mean, don't be afraid to take two guys from the same team. Stack your guys if that's what you got to do, because guys like Jacoby Brissett and Eric Ebron, like Spaceballs said back there, they're going to stack up nicely together this year with that particular injury. Pay attention to your rosters. Pay attention to your injuries. Pay attention to your depth charts. Just know what you want to get and don't be afraid to get it.
Great advice, brother. And I'm going to say my last bit of advice for people is this weekend especially, watch the cuts, because team cuts are coming and guys like LeSean McCoy could potentially be on the cutting block. And, you know, guys like him could land up on a team like the Texans. I think that might be why some of these teams haven't made moves yet, because McCoy is on the roster bubble. He's not the guy he was before. So just keep an eye on that. Watch the roster cuts. I still think Shady McCoy is worth a draft late just to see for potential. But, keep an eye on cuts. It's really important, because a lot of guys will be shifting teams and moving around real soon here. And that's going to happen all this weekend. So it's going to be real interesting, guys. I know we're all ready for football season. Bears-Packers coming up next week. And, guys, I think that's it. We covered a lot on the show, Fantasy Football Goon, getting everybody ready for their final draft, or if they have a draft already, talking about what they can do to help them win this year. Tooch, I appreciate you always as joining me, brother. You're the man.
Anytime, Joe. I want to just say, if people are drafted, remember, keep in mind getting the offenses, getting in line with those big offenses like the Falcons and the Cardinals and the Saints, the Colts. You know, get pieces of these offenses. Joe, who else would you add in there?
You want a piece of the pie. I mean, I like the Steelers.
The
I don't
Packers,
know if you said that already.
The Steelers, right. All these teams that run a lot of plays offensively. You know, stay away from the Titans and, you know, the Redskins. You know, teams that are going to struggle.
Titans. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, avoid that. You want the high-powered offense.
High-powered offenses, and don't be afraid to get multiple guys from those big offenses.
Absolutely. And Zim, much appreciated you coming on last minute. I just asked, I'm like, hey, man, anyone want to come on, you know, to talk about our draft? And Zim was like, yeah, sure, I'll come on. And, you know, we always love when we get people from the league to come on. And Zim, 2 weeks in a row, it's fun having you on the show. So we appreciate your time, brother.
I appreciate you having me on.
When are you going to come on? I have a stream, Zim.
I thought you guys said you guys were doing it, week two?
We're going to be recapping with Watchmen on HBO as soon as that starts in October, I think. Is that October, Joe?
I believe that's October, yes.
All right.
And then, of course, before we get out of here, we got to thank Spaceball for joining us, the Fantasy Master and the original Fantasy Football show on the Score. We appreciate your time, Spaceball, as always. And for you guys for tuning into the Fantasy Football Goon podcast, make sure you stick around right now live on MixLR. I'm going to get out of here in about 15 minutes or so. We're going to go live with Shy Fans in the Stands with myself and Greg Braggs Jr. We have two special guests tonight. We have the smartest man in the bar room, Shane Marsaw, and Draft Dr. Phil on the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Tune in for that. And all the other great shows coming up on the Barroom later this week. But, gentlemen, it's been a blast talking fantasy football. In the same way we end every show, God bless America, God bless football. Let's kick some ass.
So long, farewell, our leaders, and good night.
I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.